Upfront, inside Atlanta's entertainment industry, is brought to you by Atlanta's Jazz Station, 91.9 FM, WCLK.
Coming up on this week's show, Upfront talks to Emmy-winning producer and director Anthony Hemingway and the cast of USA's Unsolved, The Murders of Tupac and the Notorious B.I.G. The 90th Oscars are this Sunday, and Mass Media Arts Chair Dr. Nsinga Burton is here to give us her projected winners. And closing out today's show is an Upfront exclusive with the stars of Atlanta. Upfront attended the recent Season 2 red carpet premiere and captured interviews with Donald Glover, Brian Tyree Henry, and more. I'll also be playing music from Glover as well as throwback sounds from the Notorious B.I.G. and others. But first, here's this week's casting buzz and entertainment news with Reva Blue.
All right, Mr. DeMille, I'm ready for my close-up.
CAB Casting LLC is looking for two sets of African-American babies for the upcoming film, The Bobby Brown Story. The babies must have a brown complexion and can be male or female. The newborn must be available to shoot on Friday, March 9th, and the one-year-old must be available on Tuesday, March 13th. If your baby fits the description, please submit a name, phone number, age, height, and two clear photos to bbstoryextras@gmail.com with newborn or one-year-old in the subject line of the email. Tammy Smith Casting is looking for a Caucasian man and woman to portray a pastor and his wife for a new project. The actors must be between the ages of 40 to 70 and must be available to shoot on Friday, March 23rd in either Canton or Lake Allatoona, Georgia. If this is you, please submit your name, phone number, address, age, ethnicity, height, weight, sizes, and a current photo to projects2@tscasting.com with preach in the subject line of the email. In other related entertainment news, congratulations to music legend, actress, and TV personality Patti LaBelle. She will have a recurring role on the upcoming third season of the popular OWN series Greenleaf. Miss LaBelle will portray Maxine Patterson, a famous Christian motivational speaker and the CEO of a global Christian self-help empire. She is also an old friend of Lady May and will serve as her sounding board and greatest ally as she attempts to consolidate her power at Calvary. Go to WCLK.com to get all the details on Miss LaBelle's new character and more. And lastly, the 90th Oscars airs tomorrow night at 8 p.m. on ABC. This year's nominees include Denzel Washington, Mary J. Blige, Jordan Peele, Octavia Spencer, Dee Reese, Daniel Kaluuya, and more. This year's show is hosted by Jimmy Kimmel. That's this week's casting buzz and entertainment news. I'm Reva Blue.
Support for WCLK programming comes from Arts at Tech, presenting guitarist Khaki King on Saturday, March 10th at the First Center for the Arts. Her jazz-infused show features a guitar that transforms into a storytelling screen. Yours truly, Jay Edwards, will be hosting. Tickets at 404-894-9600 or online at arts.gatech.edu.
Wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up. This is Spike Lee, listening to my man, Ray Cornelius, up front, 91.9 WCLK.
Biggie, 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 can't you see? Sometimes your words just hypnotize me. And I just love your flashy ways. I guess that's why they're broken, you're so fake. Biggie, 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 can't you see? Sometimes your words just hypnotize me. And I just love your flashy ways. Guess that's why they're broken, you're so
What do you know about the Christopher Wallace murder?
Biggie?
You're going to find out who really killed the Notorious B.I.G.
They're pulling me onto another task force. It's a cold case. I want you to join me.
What's the case?
Biggie Smalls.
It's been almost 10 years. RHD investigated it, led by Russell Poole.
I promise this department will do whatever it takes to find out who killed your son.
The witnesses that we talked to were either uncooperative or suddenly developed memory loss. You know how it goes on the street.
Valletta Wallace believes that the LAPD played a direct part in her son's murder.
LAPD search warrant!
Get down on your knee!
There is a very real possibility that the murder of Biggie Smalls is directly related to the murder of Tupac.
You just heard a clip from the limited TV series Unsolved, The Murders of Tupac and the Notorious B.I.G. It debuted this past Tuesday night and features my first guests, Wavy Jones, Mark Rose, Bokeem Woodbine, and producer and director Anthony Hemingway. They stopped by the Upfront Studios recently to chat about the series and much more.
Well, hey guys, welcome to Upfront. How are you?
Fantastic.
Good, good. Good.
Yeah? Let me get some introductions here. Let's start to my right.
What's up? I'm Mark Rose. I play Tupac Shakur on Unsolved.
This is Anthony Hemingway, the director and executive producer of Unsolved, The Murders of Tupac and the Notorious B.I.G.
My name is Wavy Jones. I play Notorious B.I.G. in Unsolved.
What's good, Atlanta? This is Bokeem Woodbine. I play Officer Darren Dupree.
Mm-hmm. All right, so first of all, I got to say congratulations, Anthony Hemingway. I've been following you since Underground.
Oh, bless you.
And when I tell you, I have burnt food trying to watch that show.
Wow.
Trying to cook and look at it at the same time, because that was the type of show that you had to watch in real time.
Yes.
Sometimes I would DVR it, but then I would be mad. But it was the type of show that you had to see it because it was just so much happening.
Yeah.
You did an amazing job
on
that
you.
Show.
I
was so mad when... They, you know.
Yeah. Came to an end of the road.
Yeah. But you've got an amazing new show. We're talking about USA's Unsolved, The Murders of Tupac and the Notorious B.I.G. Anthony, let's start with you. How did you get involved with this project? Because, you know, coming off of Underground and doing an amazing job with the O.J. Simpson series, how did you get involved with this particular project?
It's interesting. On a spiritual level, I feel like these stories find me, you know, and they speak to me for... very largely and loudly, I think, you know. So it was, you know, as a lot of the processes happen, my agent called me and said, you know, I have a script that I want you to read. And I was like, well, tell me more, because I'm busy and I just not going to read anything. And so he starts to tell me, and initially, because a pilot that I had done, Bokeem and I both, the prior year, had a lot to do with some of the same themes, and mainly being L.A. in the 90s and dealing with, you know, that had a little bit more specificity in another direction. But I got to really see what this was once I read it. And it was an instant yes. The opportunity to take this tragic story about these senseless murders and let it appeal to a generation that needs more positive everything imagery. Right, yeah. Now, yeah. You know, I think to really kind of find that hope again and allow us to, you know, wake up and figure out what we can do ourselves to better our tomorrow. So it was just one of those things where it was really kind of speaking to me in so many ways, and the fun and excitement of even the letting it be a love letter, you know, to New York. I'm from there, and the era, and how, you know, I always say, you know, Big and Pac, their music was the, you know, the soundtrack to my childhood. So it was like being able to have fun again, and you know, Unsolved really chronicles these murder investigations, allowing us to humanize Tupac and Christopher Wallace in such a great way, you know, unlike the many times that the stories that have been told about them have really leaned into a lot of the negative. And to me, that's the biggest tragedy, really, the disparity of not getting to know who they are, you know. And so we really peel the onion and get to learn who they are and you know, why they were so passionate. You know, Tupac was, you know, prolific as much as he was complicated, you know, and Biggie had such a gift to be able to have a voice of the streets. And so watching their gifts really kind of, you know, play out in ways of even allowing us the opportunity to tap into, like, you know, their relationships with their mothers and all the people around them, and seeing how they affected even the cops and the detectives that were investigating their murders, you know, it's very rich, I think, in giving us this opportunity, much like OJ did, which is, you know, really wasn't all about OJ. It was about all the people that were around him and how they were affected. We have that same opportunity here to pull the curtain back.
Let's hear from the actors, Mark and Wavy. Let's talk about, how did you guys prepare for these roles because these are real people. You know, a lot of times you can prepare for someone that's, you know, a fictional character, but these are real people that lived and did amazing work. So how did you guys get prepared for that? Let's start with you, Mark.
Cool. Well, lucky enough, you know, somebody like Pac, it was so much footage and stuff that I was able to sit through and just really watch and peel from. You know, besides that, I was fortunate enough to have just small combos with his mom before she passed, as well as Mopreme Shakur was on set day in and day out while we was filming, and, you know, just making sure things stayed authentic, and that made it much more easier for me, being, you know, under an Anthony Hemingway, someone who knows exactly what he's doing, and it just felt real, real comfortable. Aside from that, I checked out the books he read, you know, How to Be a Leader, The Art of War by Sun Tzu. I mean, you know, so it was just about taking away, you know, me, Mark Rose, and putting Tupac, and just sitting in that day in and day out.
And for you, Wavy?
For me, it was definitely, I went back and I was watching the interviews and I watched how he talked and things like that, but it was almost a natural thing because, like, I think it's just a New York swag, you know what I mean? So it was different. And then having Anthony, somebody that was sending me, he was sending me a bunch of different clips and stuff, like, you got to check this out, you got to see what he's doing here. And I just was a student, just learned a lot about him and getting to know Christopher and not just the Notorious B.I.G.
Yeah, well, watching the trailer, it was like when I saw the pictures that they sent over, when they the media sent everything over, mm-hmm. and then looking at the trailer, it was like, whoa, wait a minute. You guys transformed into these guys for real. Bokeem, let's talk about your character, because you're playing an officer who's kind of being pulled into this to kind of figure out who really killed these guys.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, I could tell you a little bit about Officer Darren Dupree. He's actually a real active detective right now. And the robbery homicide division, high ranking dude. He has a background that's very interesting that he wouldn't mind me sharing with y'all, in so much as he himself was always on the right side of the law, but some of the people in his family weren't necessarily, and he came from a very challenging environment that we tend to call the hood nowadays. And he became a cop and was automatically really good at it. But a lot of times they would draw upon his knowledge of the streets, they being the higher ranking officers and detectives, and not really give him his kudos or respect or let him come up in the ranks, even though they would use his information and his intel and kind of like just keep him in the shadows. And but one of his closest friends is a cat named Greg Kading, and they worked the gang units together early in their careers. So when Greg Kading went up the ranks and became the person that the LAPD decided should head this federal task force to investigate the murders of Tupac Shakur and Christopher Wallace, Greg Kading, being a loyal cat, called upon his dear friend Darren Dupree and said, look, I need you to come join this task force with me because I may know about this, that, and the other, but you know about this, that, the other, and the third, and the fourth, and the fifth. Mm-hmm. And so he pulled him into the task force, and that was the beginning of Darren Dupree kind of leaving behind the uniform officer, which he was never really crazy about, and segueing into what would be a career as a detective. And it all had to do with his knowledge of the streets, and also he had a great love and admiration for hip-hop and still does to this day.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you, what was your some of your favorite scenes to shoot? Because, again, we're talking about music, we're talking about the excitement of their lives, but what was a scene that just kind of stands out? Anyone can jump in and say what their favorite scene was.
It's a few, man. I mean, damn, it's 10 episodes. Like, I got a huge favorite part in the first episode where Pac and Big is interacting with each other. I don't want to say any more after that, but yeah. It's powerful. Damn. I feel like I have a few for every episode. And yeah. We'll be here for a while.
Yeah. I definitely like the scenes with the interactions with their mothers, because that shows a whole different side that we don't get to see. We just, like I said, hear the music and that, but in this show, we actually get to see the interaction and love they have for their mothers.
Yeah. What do you think? Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, no. I mean, I agree with Mark. There's so many scenes. I like just about every scene that I was in, to tell you the truth. But
There was a scene.
Fact, realness. It's real.
My bad. I mean, I'm just trying to be real with y'all. But there was a scene where me and my partner, we're staking out a suspect's home, and there's just like some little funny banter in between us, and that really made me laugh.
I was going to say that. I love the opportunity that we got to really lean into the levity here, you know, because this, you know, the experience and the journey of these investigations are heavy and weighted, you know, and it's, you know, emotional at times. And I think it's just the opportunity to really find even the joy and fun and the spirit in there really taps into the heart of this. And you know, again, like I back to just having this opportunity where I think it can really reignite and reinvigorate just the spirit of hope and dreams for a new generation is exciting.
What's the takeaway message for this? What do you want, you as a director, what do you want audiences to walk away from after seeing this story and hearing these, you know, again, the music and revisiting, you know, their lives? What do you want people to?
I mean, I think one of it that's pretty broad in general is just to better our communication. You know, I think before we really act upon something that is just being driven by an emotion or even a perception or a rumor or hearsay or whatever, you know, find it within yourself to, you know, pick up the phone and call and talk to someone and just be able to talk it through, because I feel like it's easy for us to see and or look at this and ask the question, could this have been prevented? Absolutely, yes. Yeah. You know, and I think just when we allow ourselves to be open and you know, be able to just stand up and face things and be able to just communicate about it, I think it really helps anything.
Yeah. Guys, thanks so much for being a guest on today's show.
Unsolved, The Murders of Tupac and the Notorious B.I.G. air on Tuesdays at 10 p.m. on USA.
Support for WCLK programming comes from RLK Events, presenting Sisters in Song on Sunday, March 18th at 5 p.m. at the Ray Charles Performing Arts Center at Morehouse College. Kathleen Bertrand, Julie Dexter, Dion Ferris, and more will be celebrating Women's History Month by performing tributes to their favorite jazz divas. Ticket information is available at Sisters in Song at Eventbrite.com.
Hey, y'all, what's going on? It's your boy, Devon Franklin, author of the new book, The Hollywood Commandments, and you're listening to Upfront with your boy, Ray Cornelius. Stay right here.
Hollywood's biggest and brightest will be recognized this weekend during Sunday's 90th Oscars, airing at 8 p.m. on ABC. Mass Media Arts Chair Dr. Nsinga Burton dropped by to chat about this year's nominees and her projected winners. Check out our lively conversation.
Well, good morning, Dr. Burton, and welcome back to Upfront. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, this is a very exciting weekend because the Oscars are taking place on Sunday. So exciting. We have a pretty good number of African-American nominees this year and just kind of want to get into a few of them. Mary J. Blige, who is actually up for Best Supporting Actress for her role in Mudbound. I got a chance to see that film. Dee Reese did an amazing job. I thought Mary did a really good job. It was a very dark film, but I thought that she was able to take what was kind of happening in her personal life
and channel it.
And channel that and infuse that into her character. So what are your thoughts about her performance this year?
I think Mudbound is an outstanding film. I think it's interesting that it's a Netflix film and that's been nominated. This is not new because we had a couple of films last year from Netflix and Amazon that were also nominated. But Mary J. Blige, it's not her acting debut, but it's really a prestige film for her. And she's amazing in it. She's excellent in it. She definitely communicated a strong will in this particular movie. Even though they were downtrodden and disenfranchised, she promoted the dynamic black woman. She promoted the image of the dynamic black woman and really had a very strong sensibility. And I think she challenged a lot of stereotypical representations we typically have of black people in this time period who were kind of experiencing, you know, that type of power struggle. So I think she was amazing in the film, and I think she deserves a nomination.
Yeah. Now, she made history this year because not only is she nominated for Best Supporting Actress, can't talk this morning, but she was also nominated for Best Original Song for Mighty River, which she will actually be performing tomorrow night.
Yes. That's exciting.
It is.
Yeah, I mean, because that's really, you know, her forte, but I love when actors, you know, like Queen Latifah, you know, people who morph or they challenge themselves. They step out of their sandbox and get into another sandbox, and then they actually study the craft and become good at it. So I think it's wonderful that she's able to perform, which is, you know, her wheelbarrow, but also she's really up in her performance game. So that's important too.
Yeah. Denzel Washington and Daniel Kaluuya are up for Best Actor in a Leading Role. Of course, Kaluuya for his work in Get Out, and Washington for Roman J. Israel Esquire. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you got the old head and the neophyte, you know? You got the pro fight and the neophyte.
Yeah.
Denzel is incredible in pretty much anything he does. I mean, even these, you know, kind of standard moneymaker movies for the industry, he kills those performances. So, you know, his performance as the lawyer, Mr. Israel, was amazing. I don't think he's going to win because he's won previously, and I think this is not the year for him. You know, and having said that, here's Daniel. He's pretty new. He's not new to us, but he's new to this level of filmmaking. And so I think that he did an amazing performance. He's part of a film that started out very small and then exploded. So I think it's going to help him in other ways. You know, he's in Black Panther right now, and he's doing a number of other performances. I think he's too young, and the category is huge. I mean, you got Daniel Day-Lewis, Gary Oldman. Daniel Day-Lewis is retiring. He's already the record holder for having won 3 Best Actor Academy Awards. You got Gary Oldman, who came out of retirement.
And transformed and just,
yes,
into...
Yes, I mean, he killed it.
Yeah, yeah.
So I really think it's Gary Oldman's to lose.
Yeah.
But, you know, you just never know. We might have that dark horse, pun intended, and you know, Daniel might pull it out as a first time actor in a movie of this level. But you know, I think it's really Gary Oldman's to lose.
Now, I failed to mention that Octavia Spencer is also up for the Best Supporting Actress role. She's going up against Mary J. Blige and a number of other great women. So, do you think that Mary has a chance, or do you think that Octavia might?
Well, this is just being legit, no.
Yeah.
I think Mary did a great job, and not to take away from her at all. It was a small performance, but it was a really well-done performance. Octavia Butler.
Yeah.
Rest in peace to one of the greatest Afrofuturistic writers ever.
Right.
But Octavia Spencer, you know, she's amazing in pretty much everything that she's in. But she, you know, it's a Guillermo del Toro film, The Shape of Water. It's a very beautiful film. It looks good. It's symbolic. I mean, it's a very much an Academy Award type of film. So I don't see Mary beating her. Having said that, I think that Guillermo del Toro's film is actually going to win pretty much everything, because it just is incredible in so many different ways. And I really don't think that Mudbound is a dark horse. I think that the dark horse is Lady Bird.
So tell me, what are your other predictions for some of the other categories?
I think Best Actress is going to be Saoirse Ronan for Lady Bird. I think in terms of best, she's amazing in the film. I don't know if you saw it, but she's amazing in the film. And I think let me just say this, for 3 Billboards, you've got, and I'm having a brain fart. Oh, she's one of my favorite actresses, Frances McDormand. Mm. She is already an award winner for Fargo, right? She's already won. That was a long time ago, but she's incredible. So she's hard to beat. I think it's hers to lose. But I think Saoirse Ronan, because she got nominated in 2008 for Atonement. 2015, she was in Brooklyn. Amazing film, another one. So I think this is her year. I think if they do that. Best Supporting Actress, I think is going to be Laurie Metcalf. Again, for Lady Bird. I think Lady Bird, especially in this Me Too movement, especially in Hollywood, I think Lady Bird is going to be the dark horse. I think if it's not Guillermo del Toro, because he's like past winner, you know, this movie, you know, everybody thinks this is his best film since Pan's Labyrinth. And it's just, the storytelling is great. It's wonderful acting. It's wonderful directing. The score is amazing. The cinematography is just bar none, although Mudbound cinematography was amazing. So I think he's like the typical favorite, right? But I feel like Lady Bird, especially, you know, the director, it's written by a woman. Greta Gerwig is the director also. She's a writer-director. I feel like Lady Bird's going to take everything.
So let me ask you, Jordan Peele made history. He's a triad. He's got, what is it, best director, best picture, and best original screenplay. Do you think that he might walk away with at least one?
So Jordan Peele, Get Out is really a groundbreaking, game-changing film. I think it's the best film this year, which people, I argue with a bunch of my friends about that. Why I think it's the best film, because I think he did a great job of blending so many different genres. It's very hard to be talking about, to have a psychological thriller, horror, comedy, and really a race movie all in one.
Right.
And he actually got all the outcomes that he wanted in the film, right? So I think it's a brilliant film in many ways. I think it's a timely film in many ways. And I think it shows, you know, that comedic training that he had, the serious side of comedians like we see in Richard Pryor and folks like that. Having said that, I think because it's his like first time, they may hold that against him. Mm-hmm. But if they don't, I think he should definitely win for writing. I think if the screenplay, I read it, it's incredible. And I think that he might, I don't think he's going to win for first time as a director, but I think he could do it for writing.
Well, the Oscars are airing tomorrow night, 8 p.m. on ABC. This year it's hosted by Jimmy Kimmel, and we're looking forward to seeing the show. So thanks so much for stopping by.
This is Omar Dorsey, a.k.a. Hollywood of Queen Sugar, and you're listening to Upfront with Ray Cornelius.
My last segment features exclusive interviews with the cast of the award-winning comedy series, Atlanta. Upfront was there for the recent red carpet premiere and got an opportunity to chat with Donald Glover, Brian Tyree Henry, and more. Here's what co-executive producer and director Hiro Murray says about season two.
Second season, I think you can expect a lot of what people liked about the first season, but just more dense. I think it's a slightly darker and more dramatic season, so there's a lot of conflict in there, as you can probably tell from the title, Robin Season.
Yeah.
But all in all, it's just, you know, the same people doing what they love, just in a different time of year.
Writer-producer Stephanie Robinson also talked about the inspiration behind the show's theme, Robin Season.
It was something that we had talked about for a little bit, and I don't think we had like a ton of different reasons for it. I don't think there was one huge reason, but I think it just sort of accentuates the fact that we like the show to feel like installments and moments. And I think naming season two something different sort of reiterates that or bolsters that idea.
Executive producer, writer, and Donald's brother, Stephen Glover, also talked about writing for this second season.
This season, we kind of, a lot of the writers were like first time, you know, first season. So I think this season, especially like me, like I understand, you know, how a TV show gets made now, you know, how like if you're like, hey, I want a bunch of elephants to rain from the sky, and, you know, then you understand like there's shit you can't do. But as far as like, yeah, like I think we've all gotten better at understanding what's possible. But we at the same time, we shot bigger because we're like, okay, like now we understand what the parameters are a little bit more. So
he also says that while he and his brother are proud of their accomplishments, they refuse to rest on the success of the first season.
I think, you know, we always want to top ourselves. Right? Like me and Donald, we always talk about just being better than you were the last time. So we definitely wanted to top ourselves this season. At the same time, it's not about chasing last season's success. You don't want to be like, this is what made us popular. You kind of just want to stick to the kind of principles we had before, which is just making fun, interesting television.
Brian Tyree Henry plays up-and-coming rapper Paperboy on the show and talked about how he approached his character differently this second season.
Knowing that I knew nothing at all about him, knowing that it's been a minute since he's been out of the spotlight, and then coming back and knowing that the whole world has changed for him. You know, Atlanta is where he was born and raised, and now he can't really navigate it the way he used to. And, you know, him and Ernst's relationship is completely different as well. So there's a lot of discovery that he's finding within himself. It also means that he has to navigate differently. That means a lot of restraint. means a lot of like trying to check in on who he is and make sure he ain't doing the same stuff that he used to do because it's different. So I think it's a lot of him checking in on himself to make sure that he can still be in the city that he loves and be able to live and sleep and breathe, you know?
Donald Glover and Brian Tyree Henry also shared their favorite places to shoot around town for this new season.
Mrs. Winters. That was cool.
I bet my apartment was dope.
Your apartment, I really like that area.
Oh my God, I was like, we're back in my apartment, which just happens to be the Bluff. But that's
yeah, fine. It's like right in Bankhead area, like that area's cool. Like,
Onyx was fun.
Onyx is dope.
Yeah, like, and where was Helen? Helen was in Helen.
Helen was in Helen. Yeah. Shot Helen. Yeah. Like that one.
Monday's premiere took place at the historic Starlight 6 Drive-In Theater and featured a number of classic cars representing the ATL. It is also a place that both Brian and Donald hold near and dear to their hearts.
I really loved this place when I was a kid. Like, I used to, like, my parents used to bring me here, and I used to, like, I had a Walkman, and I would watch rated R movies behind me and, like, switch the radio station and stuff. And I saw, like, Malcolm X here. It's just a very special place. I just always, when I came here, I was like, where are we? You know, like, so I really like it here.
It's communal, man.
It's a very communal place.
Thank you so much for listening to today's show. I'd really like to thank all of my special guests, the cast of Unsolved, The Murders of Tupac and the Notorious B.I.G., Wavy Jones, Mark Rose, Bokeem Woodbine, as well as director Anthony Hemingway. I'd also like to thank Dr. Nsinga Burton, Donald Glover, Brian Tyree Henry, and the FX Atlanta team. I would also like to thank my engineer, Mark Angel, and you. Please join us next Saturday, March 10th at 9 a.m., where I'll be talking to A Wrinkle in Time star, Storm Reid, as well as celebrity hairstylist Kim Kimble. Happy Saturday, Atlanta. If you like today's show, please hit us up at WCLK.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Upfront, inside Atlanta's entertainment industry, has been brought to you by Atlanta's Jazz Station, 91.9 FM, WCLK, an NPR member-supported station.